We're going to start this episode with a little bit of a game because I love a game. Teachers love games. Students love games. Basically, everybody loves a game. Now, this game is going to be Name That Tune. And I just want to give you a fair warning. I'm not a great singer, but I know that you're going to be judgment free because you're just trying to go 3 for 3. Okay? So, first song. You've got a friend in me. We obviously also started out very easy because the very first line of that song is also the title of that song. But let's go a little bit harder, okay? Here's the next one. Can't stop your crying, it will be all right. Just take my hand, hold it tight. That's Phil Collins. Do you know the name of the song? Okay, that's a bit of a flashback for sure. Okay, some of you are 2 for 2. Let's see if you can get this last one. This one is definitely a little bit harder. Started out on a one-way train. Always knew where I was gonna go next. That's all you get. Do you know the name of that song? Now, some of you may have gone 3 for 3 because you also identified that there was a theme. You've Got a Friend in Me is from Toy Story. You'll Be in My Heart is from Tarzan. And Steal the Show is from Elemental. And all three of those songs are in movies that happen to be Disney or Pixar movies. And my school recently hosted a family engagement night where we played Name That Tune Disney Pixar Edition. And the results were incredible. We had great attendance. We had great participation. We had so much laughter. We had so much learning. And it was absolutely awesome. And so what I wanted to do in this episode today was give you all of the details, show you exactly how we planned it, how we ironed out all of the little things that actually made a difference, because honestly, it wasn't that difficult to do, but the rewards, the benefits for actually hosting this, I think were very impactful. And if it works for my school district, if it works in my area, I'm also confident that it can work in yours. I think one of the things that we have to do more often in schools is open up our doors to the community, to parents, to grandparents, to aunts and uncles, to anyone who is loving on our students and raising our students. How can we raise involvement and therefore raise test scores? By opening up our doors and saying, hey, we want to do something completely free, super fun for you and your family, because connecting with you so we can connect with your kids is truly one of the backbones of our education system. And so if you're looking for something a little fun and a little festive, maybe proactively this spring or hell, right now because it's February and February is freaking hard, then this is your answer. Let's get into the details. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. One of the classes that I have taught for the past few years is a high school elective that we call High School Self-Management and Leadership. And this class is an opportunity for our upperclassmen to get off of the junior high school campus and get into the hearts and the heads of our elementary students by creating partnerships, by creating relationships, by creating this environment where our older students are supporting and teaching and growing with our younger students in almost this peer mentor type of way. It is incredibly powerful. I highly recommend it. And it can be done in any school district. But what I love most about the class is instead of taking a final at the semester, instead of taking some sort of pencil paper assessment, because this is so hands-on and because this is so project-based learning, my students don't take a final. They have to engage in a final project, call it a capstone, call it a summative assessment. But basically, they have to prove that they have created great partnerships, great relationships, and great communication and leadership skills to create some sort of event at the end of the semester. And so that's what this Name That Tune ended up being. It was the culminating project for my high school leadership class for second semester of actually last year. And I realized I'd never recorded a podcast episode about it. And I was like, dang, I gotta do that because it was so stinking successful. So really, it came down to high school students saying, all right, what can we do? What would be fun? What would get kids and adults into this building after hours? And really, it came down to a couple of things. After brainstorming, the students were like, well, I think if we offer food, they will come. And it was kind of like a, if you build it, they will come moment. It was like Field of Dreams flashback. But it was, I think if we offer food, they will come. And I was like, I agree. I totally agree on this. And they said, I think it also has to be super fun, especially because this is elementary students. And we want the elementary students to be excited. We want them to go home and be like, can we please go? Can we please go? And another thing was we wanted it to be free. Okay. I think anytime that we are charging our students or charging our families to participate in something, we've really cut off a bunch of the access to them simply because of financial means. And so I understand that, right? Sometimes we are doing fundraisers. But I did a whole episode on fundraiser versus friendraiser. And if you haven't listened to that one, that's a highly recommend. But the whole point was we wanted food, we wanted fun, and we wanted to offer something free. So once we had that as the platform, we could start kind of looking at the details. So when it came to food, pizza felt like an obvious choice. And I know that might seem like an obvious choice for a lot of reasons, but what I loved about it was it felt like an obvious choice for one of my high school students because they work at Casey's General Store. And anyone who works or lives in the Midwest knows that Casey's General Store has some bomb pizza. The way that I like to say is if it's not spinning, it's not winning, because you know that they've got those slices of pizza spinning around in that heating rack for hours. And I actually prefer Casey's pizza that's been spinning for nothing short of 3 hours. It creates a different texture. It creates a different bite. And I like when I have a TMJ flare-up on a piece of Casey's pizza. But some of you might not know that Casey's does full-size pizzas, and their pizza that is full-size is so great. So my student was like, I work at Casey's. I bet I can get us a bomb deal. Like, I know the manager. Let me hook this up. So this student is already using incredible relationship skills as well as great communication skills because their instinct is to pick up the phone and make some calls. And I know that seems simple, but it's so stinking significant. Our high school students need to be college, career, and life ready. And that is why I think we should be offering leadership classes, mentorship classes, classes like this that it's project-based, it's real-life stuff. In the real world, we have to plan events. We have to plan opportunities for people. So this kid picks up the phone, he makes a phone call, talks to the manager, and gets us this bomb deal. Where for every 4 pizzas we buy, they will donate one pizza. Plus, the student found a coupon code. So for every 8 pizzas that we purchased, it was $88 tax-free because we're a school. And that felt like a great deal. 8 large Casey's pizzas for $88? Yes. So we had that squared away. We could get this. And we had a bit of a funds set aside for this because the whole goal is that we are using first semester donations to help with a second semester activity. Some of you might have heard a podcast episode from last year because we did a community chili supper where we said this is completely free. Donations are accepted and that'll go towards another community event. But if you haven't listened to that episode, that was another culminating project, a community chili supper that we hosted on a mega night where we had multiple sporting events in our schools. So families were coming anyway. We just said, let us feed you a hot meal on us. Thank you for coming into our schools and being a part of sporting events. This was a little bit different because we weren't hosting it at our high school or at our junior high. We were hosting this one at the elementary building. So we had to create something that is getting families out of their homes and into the hearts and the heads of students on a school night, okay? Because this was not on a weekend. We have actually found that weekends are busy with other things. How can we get kids and families back into the school after hours on a weeknight? We had pizza at a great price, okay? The next thing was fun. And in brainstorming with students, the high school students in this class, I was like, well, what sounds fun? And we talked about movies, and I think movie nights are great, but I will challenge this. If your school is doing a movie night, first I want to say thank you for creating community events. The second thing that I want to say is I do think that if we're having community events that we are kind of missing the boat if it's not also a communication event, if it's not an engaging event. Movies are something that a lot of families are already doing, but how can we get rid of a screen and actually create some social connection? Movie nights, again, are great. I'm not saying that they are bad things, but I wanted this to be fun. The high school students said we want it to be fun. We want it to be engaging. We want it to be interactive. So that's when we started brainstorming on, okay, kids really like movies though. So what if we did a Name That Tune Disney movie family competition where anybody who comes with family members, they form a team. And we do Name That Tune, but all of the songs are from Disney or Pixar films. And it was like an immediate heck yes, okay? Because honestly, as a teacher, I've gone to Name That Tune with colleagues, like with teacher friends, and we had a freaking blast. So I kind of was familiar with the structure because I had done this with colleagues, made connections with colleagues. We did not win, still bitter about it. We didn't even place. And I felt like we were coming in with our best effort. We did not win, but I learned the structure of how to do this by participating in a community event that was not connected to the schools and said to my high school students, hey, this is what I did. Do you want to use a similar structure? So what we did was we created a form, okay, that families would fill out in teams. And if maybe your team wasn't very big, because I'll tell you, we had one single student who came with one single adult, right? It was like a first grader and their grandma. So if you wanted to form another team and partner up with maybe a mom and her daughter who come, awesome. So we let the flexibility of how you form families, what you define as family, up to those people because we're just stinking glad that you walked through the door. So we played two different rounds. We had playlists literally streaming off of YouTube, and I was kind of the DJ. Fun fact, okay, I used to be a DJ. I did weddings, school dances, community events. We had the strobe lights. We had the lasers, okay? We had the fog machine. It was in my 20s when I had that kind of energy. I swear to goodness, it was one of the best parts of my life. But I no longer provide DJ services, okay? But I still know how to use a mixer. I still know how to get on that microphone and create fun. And so we had the activity. The fun was name that tune, Disney Pixar movie edition. We had the food, okay? Casey's Pizza. But we also thought, how can we create another partnership? And so one of my high school students said, you know who makes the best no-bake cookies? The elementary school cafeteria workers. Our cooks are amazing. And I said, sounds like a conversation. Go on down to the kitchen. See if they're on board to make no-bake cookies. And our cooks are amazing. They're absolutely the freaking best. And they were honored to have even been considered. They said, yes, let's make a huge batch of no-bake cookies. We will do this with you. We will show you the recipe. We will do the first batch, and then it's on you to do the second batch. So we had these high school students in the kitchen creating great partnerships, creating great life skills, right? Yeah, you might know how to make no-bake cookies, like 2 dozen, but can you make 20 dozen? Let's get some math skills out. You are literally taking everything and like essentially 10xing it, because we want to have not 20 cookies. We want to have like 200 cookies. And so that was a great opportunity for not just pizza, but we also have no-bake cookies. And so we also started talking about, all right, but if they are just doing Name That Tune, what are we doing in between rounds? And so students were like, what if we did more themed activities like crossword puzzles with Disney themes, like names of movies from Disney or Pixar? So they were using ChatGPT and AI tools. Again, life skills. We can be mad about AI, or we can say this is real life. Let's get our kids using it. So used ChatGPT, used AI tools to create word searches, crossword puzzles, special coloring sheets. And all of that was on the tables as families were coming in. They were doing it together. They were coloring. It was incredible. And I'm just so excited to share these details with you, because at the end of the day, these community events have nothing to do with curriculum. We're not doing math. We're not doing reading. Maybe you have special reading nights or special math nights for families, and I love that. But this was truly about food, fun, and fellowship on a school campus. This was about relationships. And I genuinely believe that 180 days of school also equals 180 days of relationship building. Building relationships with students, building relationships with staff, building relationships with the community. And if you are needing more ideas like this, simple, strategic, everyday, free, flexible, fun ways to build relationships, then I want to invite you to participate in the 180 Days of Awesome Relationship Building course that starts in March. This is a fun, flexible way to earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credit and to walk away with hundreds of ideas that can impact your students, impact your school, and impact the smiles and the silly and the strategic ways that we can connect with humans on our campuses. I realize that education is changing and the way that we connect and build relationships is changing. But if you are looking for super innovative and simple strategic ways to build those relationships, then I would love to have you in the 180 Days of Awesome Relationships Building course. Registration is open right now. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses. That's monicagenta.com/courses. I'm also going to include a link in the show notes so you can get signed up. If you are needing something because you feel like you've hit a wall with colleagues, or maybe you've hit a wall with kids, the 180 Days of Awesome Relationships Building course is absolutely for you. And I would love to have you in the course so you can not only earn PD credit, but you can also learn great ways to connect with people, because that's what this profession is all about. Now, I want to just give you all of the logistical details, because I think sometimes as educators, we want to know like exactly when, where, who, what, all of the details, all of the W's, okay? So when did we do this? Well, we actually did this in the spring, okay? We did it in the spring. We did it in late April, right after spring break. Were we a little nervous about that timeline? Yes, because by late spring, sports have started. Softball started, travel things have started. People are starting to kind of wind down their school year and amp up their outdoor obligations. Were we nervous about it? Of course, but there's never a great time to do this. Like, we could literally make an excuse for every single month. August is too crazy to do something like that because of back to school. September is too crazy because people are just getting into the swing of things. October is too crazy because it's the end of the quarter and conferences. November is too crazy because of Thanksgiving. December is too crazy because of winter break. January is too crazy because it's the new year. February is too crazy because it's the shortest month, but it feels like the longest month. March is too crazy because of testing season. April is too crazy because of spring break. May is too crazy because of the end of the year. I literally just proved my point. Maybe you were annoyed, maybe it felt redundant, but the point that I'm trying to prove is there is no perfect time to plan something. So we did it late April. We did it on a Wednesday night. I know some of you are like, that wouldn't work because of sporting events. That wouldn't work because of church obligations. There's no perfect night, okay? We did it on a Wednesday night. We did it from 5 to 6:30. That was a perfect time. 5 to 6:30. From 5 to 5:15, we were greeting people. We had music playing. Remember, there was crossword puzzles, word searches, special coloring sheets that were with our Disney Pixar Name That Tune theme. Okay, so those were on the table. We had colored pencils on the tables. We had Old Man Candy on the tables. So there were things for them to be doing. They could also get their pizza. We did water. We did lemonade. And of course, the no-bake cookies. Then we did a round of 10 songs where, remember, families were the teams. They got to pick their team name or their family name. And then we did 10 songs each round. For each one, they had to name the name of the song and then also the name of the movie. And I chose things that all generations would like. Okay, my high school students really were like, well, we need to do the ones that are happening like right now, like Inside Out and Elemental. And so they were very aware of the Disney songs that were happening that have been cool in the past like 10 to 15 years. But I said, I love this, but we have to remember that there are going to be people my age there, right? There are going to be parents my age there. They're going to be grandparents. So I want to go to like the Disney archives. We need to go to like Pocahontas, Cinderella, The Little Mermaid, Tarzan, okay? The Jungle Book. And the kids were like, I've never heard of any of these. So then they were doing research and finding clips of songs and they created the playlist, all right? And so we did that two times. Now, what did we do in between the rounds? We had a dance party, obviously, okay? We had to call 911 because there was a fire burning on the dance floor. Sean Kingston. That's a Sean Kingston song. We didn't, for those of you who have no idea who Sean Kingston is, we didn't actually have to call 911. But was there a fire burning on the dance floor from the kids getting their wiggles out? Yes. Yes. 100% yes. And it was amazing. And we just had really inexpensive prizes. Went to the $1.25 tree, got like feeder candy, like boxes of candy, and any team that won or any family that won, or if there was a tie, they got to come up and pick, you know, a bag of gummy worms or a bag of Mike and Ike's or some Hershey Kisses. The entire thing was done on a budget. It was based off of donations from the previous community events. We had amazing support from principals, superintendent, teachers, custodians, like everyone was on board. And because this was a culminating event, because this was in place of a final, all of the logistics truly were falling on the high school students. And they had to get on the mic and greet people. They had to get on the mic and say how much it meant for them to be there. They had to basically give a little speech to say, hey, this is the class that hosted this. And it was amazing. And people showed up. And how did people show up? Well, because of the social media efforts that the high school class created. They created stuff for Facebook, our school Facebook page. They created flyers that were around the building. They created an alert now message that went out to every single family in the community to remind them of the event. All of the marketing and all of the communication was also coming from the high school students proactively. From start to finish, they were in charge. They were leading. I was there being like, hey, have you considered this? Hey, we might want to word that sentence a little bit differently on the poster, right? So, of course, I'm there as the teacher guiding from the side, but they were laughing, they were leading, they were learning on the spot in a real life way. Now, how many people came? Well, if I'm doing the math correctly, we were at about 25% of our student population was there. Now, you might be thinking, 25%? Seems like a lot of work for 25% of your student population being there. The reason I'm giving percentages is because if you have 1,000 people at your school, 250 families is remarkable, okay? That would be huge. That would be amazing. I think sometimes in schools, we get super focused on numbers and not as focused on names. Like if I told you that 6 students showed up, that would sound pathetic, right? But I think the question should be, well, what were the names of those 6 students? Who did they bring with them? How many high fives or handshakes did you give to the adults that they brought with them, right? It's not always about the numbers. It's often about the names and the connections and the camaraderie that you build with the people who did attend, okay? I teach in a really small rural school. We have about 180 students K through 6th. And that night, we had 60 people in our building. What's that percentage? Don't really know because I my principal counted 60 people. My principal was like, this was a great turnout. And honestly, I hadn't really counted until she shared that number because I was so focused on the fact that like kids are having fun. Kids are smiling. Kids are being like, Miss Genta, I'm so excited. Mr. Poe, I'm so excited. And like, that's awesome. That's so important. To just have a completely different lens of looking at school. We aren't doing a subject tonight. The subject is fun. The subject is food. And the subject is laugh and learn and lean in to spending some quality time with your adults. This was so easy. It was so effective. And I do hope that this is something that we continue to do as a district, as a leadership class, and as somebody who is really focused on social and emotional learning. I hope that this episode has kind of given you some context and some details so you can kind of replicate this and remix this to meet the needs of your students and meet the needs of your district. Okay? Obviously, it could look and sound and feel a little bit different for you, but the question remains, are you creating opportunities for community engagement and community partnership? If the answer is yes, keep rolling. If the answer is sort of, how can you level it up? If the answer is no, when can you put that very first event on your calendar? Because I want you to have incredible relationships in the walls of your school, but also outside the halls of your school. And the way that we can do that is by creating better relationship opportunities. Speaking of that, I want to remind you that you can get signed up for the 180 Days of Awesome Relationship course that's beginning in March. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up. I would love to laugh and learn with you and connect on just an amazing relationship level so you can do that with your students and with your teachers in the future. Again, there's a direct link in the show notes, monicajensen.com/courses. I want to thank you so much for naming the tunes at the beginning of this episode. If you went 3 for 3, congrats. If you went 0 for 3, that's okay. You just need to brush up on your name that tune. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.